Hi, welcome to AdGraphics Podcast. My name is Ralph Kelly, the owner of AdGraphics, Airbrushing, and Caricatures.
This week we have Nate Soce. I think I said that right. Nate is an artist working in Las Vegas. Nate's story is similar to all of us. Let's take a listen to what he has to say about it.
What's going on, Nate?
Man, how's it going?
All right. I guess it went in. I guess you did just have to click in, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool. So how you doing?
Yeah, doing good. I just got off work and hungry.
Well, I'll try to make it quick for you. Normally it's been an hour, or some people have been going 2 hours. It just depends on how much you want to promote yourself and what you want to talk about.
Right.
All right. So where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Page, Arizona, Lachie, Arizona, Navajo Nation. That's all northern Arizona. Wild Wild West, if you guys have ever seen the Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons, that's what it looks like here.
Oh man. I never been to Arizona.
Oh man, you gotta check it out.
Yeah. So how long have you been airbrushing?
I started airbrushing at the end of 2008. Like November, December 2008, and really 2009, all of 2009, and just, you know, I used to go down and watch Jaime Rodriguez down in Arizona Mills in Phoenix, and I was always fascinated with airbrushing and checked out a couple airbrushing videos and stuff, and I started doing the tutorials that Jaime was teaching on YouTube. And that's, I believe, where I get a lot of my style from, was because I did his tutorials and I learned his techniques, and it kind of went from there.
Yeah, I think actually somebody mentioned that your style is the closest. I think Ed Zamora said it. Your style is the closest to Jaime's than anybody else's.
Right.
That's crazy that it's like a small circle that all y'all, like, you know, y'all all. Everybody from like Arizona and all that stuff, all y'all know about Jaime and been around Jaime and talked well and saw some of his styles and whatever.
Oh man, one thing we talk about a lot is, you know, we wish he could see the legacy he left behind. Man, you know, we all miss him.
Yeah, he have a big following.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, how did you get into airbrushing?
So like I said, I used to go down and watch Jaime down in at Arizona Mills in Phoenix. I taught high school graphic communications, which is graphic design, for 2 years, and I took students down to Phoenix to visit colleges, and they got to see some of the places that I've worked. My degree is in graphic design, and so I have a very strong design background, which, you know, helps with everything I do. We went to the mall, we checked out Jaime out there, and you know, I just fell in love with the art form and the technique and stuff. And in 2008, I got my my airbrush. I got a Vega 2000 because that's what Jaime recommended.
Yeah.
I worked in the, I was working in a jail at the time. I worked in the county jail for 3 years, and I worked graveyards for two of those years. And we used to watch airbrushing videos at night while all the inmates slept. So I'm talking almost 8 hours a night just watching videos. And I mean, that's not all we did. You know, we had to work and stuff, but we spent a lot of time watching the tutorials and then going home and practicing them. So it's, you know, I got almost 2 years of practice. So
wow. So when you got off, you just go home and you practice a little while?
Yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, checking out other guys' videos on YouTube, that's kind of the only window to the world that I had, and you know, getting to see different techniques from different guys. But I think I fell in love with Jaime's style the most, and that's the style that I was trying to mimic and I was trying to learn, so I really admire his, you know, the work that he left behind,
Yeah, he have a tattoo-y style.
Right.
Yeah, so it's mainly like a tattoo style. Yeah. So what's the first shop you ever worked in?
We used to go and do small events, weekend events, fairs, and stuff like that. Mario Villar asked me to, we were out down at the swap meet in Phoenix, and Mario asked me to come join him for a summer and airbrush on the road at different state fairs, carnivals and stuff. And so 2014, I left home and you know, started my professional airbrush career with him. And so we, you know, it was a tribute to Jaime. Mario was his business partner. And it was a tribute to Jaime. It was a Pure Image, a tribute to Pure Image Design. And so honored to learn more from him and learn more technique and stuff. And then in 2015, Chino, everybody knows Chino Nabong, asked me to come out to Vegas and start working out there. And, you know, I started working at, I don't know if it was called Airbrush Las Vegas at the time. Maybe it was. I think it was Airbrush Las Vegas or Nevada Airbrush or something like that. And then the shop was eventually, I think Jonathan bought it out. And I've been working with Jonathan in Vegas ever since. So.
Oh, yeah.
Airbrush Las Vegas.
So you never, like, had your own shop. You went from the fairs to Las Vegas.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, I would do the swap meet every now and then and stuff. But, yeah, I never really had my own shop, no.
Have you ever thought about making your own shop?
I think about it all the time, man.
Oh, yeah?
It's a
lot to it. It's a pain in the butt. That's actually what it is.
You know, that's some of the things I've heard. I've heard that when you know, a lot of guys who have their own shops, they end up doing more of the business than actually airbrushing. And, you know, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind that at all. I just, I just enjoy working, going to work and coming home and you know, just focusing on my family.
Yeah. That's the thing though. If you decided to do it, just know it's a lot involved in it, man.
Right.
It really is. So one of the questions was, how did you find out about airbrushing? But you said that about you as a graphic designer. So have you done any graphic design, or you just when you finished, you just started airbrushing?
Yeah, no, like I said, my degree is in graphic design. When I was in college, I got a job with a company called Spectrum Sports down in Tempe, and they did a lot of the printing for the Arizona Coyotes, the Phoenix Suns, the Diamondbacks, Sears and Dillard's. We had a contract with the Fiesta Bowl and several other college bowl games and stuff like that. So I got to, right away, I think it was 6 months into college, I got a job designing for like Sears and Dillard's and stuff like that. They had 12 artists submit designs for a Fiesta Bowl. I believe it was the Oregon Ducks and I can't remember the other team, but they approved 12 designs and I did 6 of them from, I think it was like 9 artists or 10 artists or something like that. And that was, kind of neat. I was a 21-year-old kid and designing for, you know, some pretty big names. One of the biggest things I ever saw was going to a Phoenix Coyotes game and seeing 10,000 shirts printed with my design on it. And that was kind of cool. You know, you go into the stadium and,
you know, that's crazy, right?
This little
to see all the people with something you created.
Yeah, it's a trip, man. It's a trip, and
that's, a lot that's of stuff. Addictive too.
Yeah, and I got to meet like Sean Marion and some other guy, Jake Sokolides and stuff, and with the Phoenix Suns because I did a design for them. So it's, you know, right away, while I was in college, doing designs like that, and yeah, man, it's been fun. I've worked with in Spanish advertising. Did a lot of stuff for the Arizona Republic and some pretty big events. So it's been fun.
That's crazy. I didn't know that much about you. I see you online and we have like a little banter behind a couple of things, right. But other than that, I really didn't know much about you.
Mm-hmm.
You was published too in Airbrush Action, right?
Yeah, it was the very I believe it was the last issue. You can only find it online. They never had a hard copy. I think they went out of business or something or whatever. But yeah, it's online.
You never got a copy of it? That is it? Well,
they never printed that last hard copy. I think they only published online and that was it. And
man, I bet you that would have been a good thing to have like a hard copy of it. But I guess you could still print it out yourself.
Yeah, yeah, get it printed and framed and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was something about you were the first person, or I get, I don't know. It was, somebody was mentioning something to me about it, like you were the first person in there or something.
Oh, and I don't know if I was the first person. I was about halfway through the magazine, but my first time being published like that in a magazine, being featured in a magazine, that was awesome. Pat Gaines helped me out with that. He did the interview and everything, and that was really neat.
Yeah, he posted the other day that he said he was gonna make sure he listened to this one.
Right.
So yeah, it's good Pat. You said his name, because now you feel like Pat, I think Pat have a hand in everybody's everybody's thing.
Yeah.
So he got me in that. I was in that three times. Oh, actually, nice. I think. Yeah. Nice. So he put Pat through his articles that he posted.
Mm-hmm.
So you move around a lot, or you just like? Because last time I think I saw online, you were moving around to someplace else, and you came back, and you was in California, and you back to Vegas.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm just saying that some artists move around a lot,
Well, I'm from the Navajo Nation, and job opportunities here are very, very limited, very scarce. And the only work a lot of guys find is off the reservation. So we leave home. We leave. There's a lot of our guys are in construction and stuff like that. Fortunately, I'm one of the lucky ones to be an artist, and to be able to leave for that's pretty pretty neat, and to be a little more mainstream, not just just to actually be wanted somewhere like Vegas or in Hollywood. It's pretty neat feeling, and I feel very fortunate to be able to get off the reservation and do these things. And
yeah, that's cool. That's because so. I went to the one in California. Well, not in California. I was in Vegas.
Right.
Was it Vegas? No, it was Orlando. You were in Orlando, or you was in California?
I was in Hollywood. Yeah, California. Yep.
Oh, okay. No, so I haven't been to that one. Where it was where you're doing like, hey, you shoot a lot. Somebody was asking me about you shoot videos and stuff. Somebody was asking about those.
Yeah, I'll do a video every now and then, just kind of for fun, just to kind of show my buddies what I'm doing and stuff like that. I didn't think it was gonna. I've had a couple of videos go viral and stuff, and I didn't. I was never expecting it to be that. I never really promoted myself to be. I just want to share videos with my family and friends, and it really kind of took off among other artists, and got to networking some more, and it's really it's just airbrush community is a pretty tight community, and it's a lot of fun to. Talk with each other and just BS and whatever, it's I have a good time, man. I love it.
Yeah. I hear a lot about you a lot of times. I'm like on the back end of everything.
Though, right.
But it's like, I hear a lot of people talking about you, your letters and everything. Do you have a website or anything?
I just Instagram. It's sevens_GDA. That's sevens as in like the number seven, but it's spelled out plurally. Sevens_GDA. That's graphic design and apparel. And you can find me. I'm wearing this pink shirt.
What's your Facebook?
It's just Nate Soucy under my Facebook. A lot of our work is it's a collective of the airbrush artists in at Airbrush Las Vegas. So you can also go to airbrushlasvegas.com and see a lot of our stuff there collectively. That's, you'll see Jay Mocha, Daniel Sparza, Jonathan's and mine, and several other artists who come through, and it's really neat to be part of that group right there, man. They're a lot of fun out there. So
yeah. How do you, man, I said your name, right? I said Tosi or something like that, and Pat got on me and said no, you gotta say it. It's, I'm like, so how do you pronounce your name again?
Soucy. The T silent, yeah.
Yeah, because Pat got on me. I was like, well, I don't know, Pat. I never talked to him before.
Right.
Yeah, so now it's Soucy. The T is silent.
T silent. In our language, we say it, but nobody can say it, so we say Soucy.
Ah, yeah. So do you sell any items online, or do you sell anything through your Instagram or Facebook? Or
right now, no. I've done several pieces privately, especially during this pandemic. I had to really find some private collectors and sell to them. But I don't sell anything online right now. I'm focusing. I'm working two jobs. I work full time, collision repair, double R collision repair here in Page, and then I go and spray on the weekends in Vegas. So it's I'm working 7 days a week and don't necessarily have the time to be doing anything. I'm a little tired.
Yeah, I mean it's the way it is. That's right. The next question it was going to be too was mm-hmm. Has COVID affected you business or sales for you?
Yeah, you know,
but I think
yeah, in March, you know, they shut down Vegas. I mean, they shut everything down, and I came home March 15th, March 16th, or something like that. And I've been home ever since. I recently just started in Vegas again. Like I said, I'm a little, you know, I was telling everybody I'm a little rusty and stuff. And it just, you know, just it's been a while. You know, I'm glad to be back. I'm grateful to be anytime I can spray, you know, an airbrush for people. It's awesome, but.
That's a good thing that you have a place to go to. I mean, right. You make a phone call and, you know, you write in.
Right, right. Yeah, but no, COVID's really, you know, it's everybody's affected by it. It's been tough. It's been a tough year, man. It's been a really tough year.
Yeah, I think the one of the questions I ask everybody is like, okay, so, you know, you have to, since COVID hit, it's like the fact that you have to find an alternate way of making money.
Yeah.
Is that why you started doing the cars or is it like?
Yeah. You know, I travel a lot and I'm away from my kids a lot. And I wanted to find something a little bit closer to home and with the pandemic and everything so working in Vegas allowed me to work weekends and then come home and be home all week with my kids. That was the plan. But, you know, COVID came and shut everything down. My kids weren't able to travel most of the summer. They were down in Phoenix with their mom. And, you know, I was up here in Page. It's 4 or 5 hours away. You know, like I said, I was just finding, you know, kind of odd jobs here and there to do throughout the summer. Did a couple of murals. And in August, I was able to find a job locally. Right about that time, I think Vegas started opening back up we're slow. Everybody's slowly getting back on their feet again. And it's good to see, and it's good to be part of again. You know, it's been tough, you know, it's been a tough year, but we're working through it.
Yeah. That's a crazy, I think it's for everybody. Cause they shut us down too.
Right.
And, so it's like, then you have to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? What can I do? So that's why I said about the online stuff. I'll start selling, trying to figure out a way to make stuff online and you know, to sell it like that way.
Right.
And that kept me afloat for a little while. And then we finally opened back up. And, dude, I was rocking for a while.
Wow.
So that's a blessing for me. And we're still kind of busy. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually thinking the way it's going that everything's going to start slowing back down and they're going to start closing people off.
It's definitely, I think everybody's feared that second wave coming and we're going to face it head on, man. We're going to take on, you know, I think we're resilient people and we're going to get through this. You know, it's going to be we'll have a story to tell when it's all said and done.
Yeah. So you didn't catch it, or you haven't caught it or anything?
I not personally. Some of my family members did. It hit the Navajo Nation extremely hard. I believe, if I remember correctly, I believe the Navajo Nation might have been one of the hardest hit places in the country. Nobody probably ever heard about it. I believe we're hit probably. I don't know if it was the hardest place in America, but it's up there. I mean, and the thing about the Navajo Nation is the families live in homes multi-generationally, meaning you have the kids, the parents and grandparents typically live in the same house. And, you know, one person goes away for work or whatever, they come back and they get the whole family sick.
That's crazy.
It hit pretty hard, and we lost several family members to COVID. And it's like I said, man, it's been a tough year, man. It's
Yeah, this year is 2020. We need to hurry up and end because it's been crazy since January, man. Since Kobe died.
Yeah.
It started with Kobe.
It's been tough, man. I wouldn't wish this year on anybody.
Nah, man. On the cool. Yeah. But me personally, I think they really need to. It's going to hurt me financially if we close again, but I really think we need to do it because, man, that's the only way we're going to catch a hold of it.
Yeah, you know, we got to do what we got to do. Like I said, we got to be resilient. We got to be willing to hit it, you know, face it head on. And if that means shutting down for our own health and safety, you know, that we have to do it. And, you know, it'll come back. We'll come back from this. And like I said, we'll have a story to tell later.
So you said you was selling the private art. What were you doing, canvases or what were you doing?
Doing canvases. I do a little bit of the custom culture brushed metal art, where you grind out
with the grinding metal
and using candies and stuff like that. Did a couple murals here in town, and it just you know, a couple pieces here and there, nothing real big. Doing some odd jobs around town, and you know, just doing my best to keep myself afloat and
keep it busy. Yeah, because you still go to Arizona, but you work in Vegas on the weekend, so you drive that like
drive 4 to 5 hours every weekend. Yeah, one way.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, so like,
damn. But hey.
Like, you know, I work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Friday night, I try to leave town Friday night, if not early Saturday morning. I work 11 to 11 Saturday, 11 to 11 Sunday. Sunday night, I get off, I gas up, I get something to eat. I'm usually on the road by 12:30. Drive back to Arizona, be back by 4, 5 in the morning, sleep a couple hours, and then right back to work again, 8 o'clock in the morning. And it's you know, I've been doing it for five years now, so it's tiring, but it's
you kind of used to it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of wear and tear on your vehicle too. Yeah, I bet. So, one of the questions was that you was since she's working in the car place, because you showed some pictures like it was kicking your butt. It's a whole lot different than paint shirts on.
Oh man, yeah, it's a good arm workout. It's a good upper body workout. I was joking around with Antonio Jackson a couple weeks ago. He boxes and he used to use his motions as he's grinding the sanding cars down to practice his jab and stuff like that. And guys were freaking out in the gym later that, man, where does this guy get a jab from? And you know, it really is. You know, you can really make it something fun like that. You can, you know, it doesn't have to be work. I think of it as a sculpture. You know, you're sculpting something out and. It's we have a good time. We have a really good group of guys I work with at Double Off.
So Mr. Miyagi was right.
Yeah,
white
seriously.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah. So then after you did that for a while, that's when you decided like, well, I kind of want to go back to airbrush a little bit.
Well, the opportunity to work opened up. Jonathan asked me if I was interested in coming back out, and I was like, heck yeah, man. I would love to, and love to join the team again. And you know, and that's, you know, it's to me, you know, it's an honor to me. It's definitely a blessing to be, you know, like I said, wanted somewhere to be, you know, more or less kind of in demand, and it's good. And I definitely do my best every chance I get, you know, I do my best 100%.
It sounds like your work. Your work is good. I don't ever say anything online. Right. Like I said, man, we got our little people online about, you know. But it's all good. Yeah, that's what I said. Somebody asked me, they asked me who I have. I said, I got Nate. They said, Nate, did y'all all you online? Yes. But you know what? It ain't about me. It's like I want Nate to get his story out, man. If he got something to promote or talk about, then that's what this is about. So gotta let all that little petty stuff go to the side about that. Even though we won, brother.
You know, I don't hold things personally, and anybody I know will tell you that. You know, I don't hold grudges. We all have our own differences, our backgrounds, whatever. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're all human. We're all Americans. We're all, you know, we all support each other.
Real talk.
So
how do you think working in California versus working in Vegas. I guess it's the same thing, right? Working the two different places, like not comparing the shops, but the atmosphere.
Oh, man. So I was at Universal Studios in Hollywood for 1 year, from 2018 to 2019, versus Vegas. You know, Universal Studios is definitely seasonal. You're definitely busier in the summertime. The wintertime, it definitely slows down, man. It's you have those days where you're standing there, you're like, what the heck? And then you have those days where you have 30, 40 people watching you, and you're like, you know, it's intimidating. So there's a lot of ups and downs. Vegas is steady. Any week in Vegas is good. It's hot in Vegas. We hit 113 in Cali one day. Well, I think 80% humidity, and I was dying. I'm from Arizona. Man, let me see that dry
y'all
heat. Outside, so right? It's
y'all are outside, like you outside staying.
Yeah, right? You know, in Cali, man. I mean, the humidity probably was one of the hardest things for me to adjust to. I just couldn't, you know. Like I said, I like the dry heat. I love heat. I love hot weather. Anybody would tell you that. I couldn't do that humidity, man. That was tough.
Yeah, both of them are tourists.
Oh yeah, too. Oh yeah.
So yeah, so I was just in Vegas and I passed by the Fremont spot right. A couple of times, and it says Vegas is like, I guess, Bourbon Street, New Orleans, like yeah. There's people all the time, all right, year round. Right. Yep. So it's like a. You have to deal with all the drunks and whatnot.
In Vegas, I mean, they come through. It's you know, you have to be able to roll with the punches more or less. Just, you know, they're out there to have fun, and you know, we're out there having fun too, and you know, try not to, you know, butt heads with anybody. But it's, you know, they come through. We all have fun. We all, you know, we all like to laugh and you know, try to make it memorable for each person coming through. And you know, we're not on the defensive necessarily. And we try to make it fun for everybody. So,
yeah, yeah. Because I think last time I was there, it was another guy there, and I passed by. I stood there for a while. I watched them pay for a little bit. It's a nice yeah. little setup. To be honest, it's
yep,
a nice
it is.
And I saw a video you posted of when you was in California, like people standing around, and you have to interact with them while you're shooting your video, and they talking to you.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Cali, you know, at Universal, they wouldn't let us put up any barriers, and so you know, you'd be spraying a hat or a shirt or whatever, and kids would come by and just start picking up airbrushes out of your rack, and you know, yeah, oh, it was. Crazy, yeah. Yeah, but it's.
I did caricatures like that. A little kid, man, he just came and just laid on my shoulder and watched
right.
me draw.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He just laid on my shoulder. I was like, man, come on, dude. So the barrier, but y'all have a barrier.
Vegas, we do, yeah.
But California yeah, is crazy. I would not want nobody on me.
Man, it was. Yep.
But you ask what kind? How do you shoot those videos? Like you write up on it? How do you con? Are you? Do you paint with one hand?
Yeah. I hold my phone with one hand and I paint with the other. You know, when we airbrush with two hands. We kind of just support with the left hand. I'm right-handed, so I spray with my right, and I just kind of support with my left. So when I'm spraying, when I do those videos, I'm holding a phone against my hand, I guess, with my left hand. And I'm spraying with my right, so it's not anything different. And I'm not really concentrating on the phone. I'm just concentrating on the airbrushing, and the phone's just following the airbrush, I guess, if that makes any sense. Yeah. It definitely is one-handed, but I don't know.
I watch it, like, how you keep up. Like, damn, I ain't keeping up with, like, the film and, like, moving the phone at the same time, holding the phone. Like,
right, yep. Yeah, it's definitely multitasking there. So,
yeah, well, look at then having to deal with people coming yeah. around you. Yeah. So, what was the other? It was another one. So what else is new? What else you got going?
Right now, you know, I got a couple of private projects that I'm working on. I got two canvases, two motorcycle helmets, I got another brushed metal piece I'm working on. And this is all just, you know, stuff that I'm still trying to catch up on over from over the summer. Learning how to paint cars. That's kind of cool, man. I love the prep that goes into that and just the process, man. It's very complicated, and that's a lot of fun. I can't wait to have my kids home. They're home with me right now. I can't wait to have them home with me, and school's open, and, you know, business is open, and, you know, just the hope, you know, I have a lot of hope that, you know, things will hopefully get back to normal soon. I'd love to give everybody a big hug and shake hands, and there's nothing like that. And just try to stay hopeful, you know, no matter what happens, where, with who or what, you know, I'm just staying hopeful that we're going to get back to that. Getting back to that someday, so.
Yeah. Do you paint when you, after all these hours you at work, do you paint at home or?
At home, in my room, yeah. I work on those. The neat thing about working in the auto shop is now I have a place to do clear coating and stuff. So that's kind of cool. You know, that definitely opens up a lot for me. And I was clear coating my backyard, and the wind blows, sand everywhere, and, you know, I'd have all kinds of sand in my clear coat, and now, you know, now I get to do it in the shop. So that's kind of cool. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get the, that's another trade that you can learn. I mean, there's a lot of people doing airbrushing in shops like that, but cars and stuff, but to learn how to paint cars and all that.
Yeah. I've been talking with my boss there, and he was, he kind of pitched it to me to knock out a hood and start promoting something more custom graphics and airbrushing in the shop also. And that would be super cool, man. I'd love to do that, you know? So.
Yeah. That'd be a good addition. I mean, find you a little car hood or something like that. What was another one. Somebody asked me to ask you something. I'm looking for the comment. I should have wrote it down. I know Ed asked me to ask you about, let me find it. What is do you have any tips for any AdWords artist?
There's always that, for beginners, there's always that you pick up an airbrush because it looks cool and you see all the pros doing it. And, you know, you try it out for the first couple times, you know, we all get to that point where we're like, this isn't for me. You know, this is too hard. You know, we've all gone through that phase, and, you know, it's really, you know, how good do you want to be at it? And now put yourself, to work and practice. So, you know, when I was learning, everybody was telling me, all the pros were telling me, learn the dagger stroke, master dagger stroke. You know, that's what everybody told me. And that's one thing that I really focused on. And that's one thing that Jaime's tutorials really focused on, was that dagger stroke, going from thick to thin and stuff. And, you know, mastering dagger stroke, definitely. I love the shadows and highlights and stuff like that. I love, you know, just the dimensions that you can get with an airbrush. I think the most important thing is to have fun with it. You know, it's at the end of the day, it is art. It is a business. And, you know, like I said, we're a small community. We're a small group that get to do this for a living, and it's, you know, have fun with it, man. We're leaving a little bit of a legacy behind, I know there's a lot of guys out there that like to like the beef and put each other down, you know, and that's, you know, it's not about putting each other down. There's artists of all different skill levels and stuff, and, you know, let's lift each other up, man, and just, you know, have fun with it. It's at the end of the day, it's something fun to do.
I'm self-taught. I didn't do the dagger strokes. I practiced a little while with the daggers, and then that was it.
It's
gone from there. But not saying that you shouldn't do it.
Right.
I just didn't do it. So, any other artists in your family?
My daughter's really picking it up. She's got a really good eye. My daughter has somewhat of a pictographic memory. You know, she'll see something and go home later and she'll sketch it out in detail. I'm like, how the heck did you remember that? You know, she's got a really good eye for art. My dad's side of the family, we have several professional Native artists that do like Native art shows and stuff. My grandmother was a Navajo weaver. She wove Navajo rugs, and we like to brag, you know, she wove rugs as big as houses. You know, they were 10 to 12 feet tall. And my grandma, my dad's mom, used to be able to weave a rug with one design on the front and a different design on the back by hand. And I don't know how she did that. It's an old traditional Navajo weaving technique that they did to weave two designs simultaneously. And my grandma was a master of that. And she learned that when she was 9 years old. Her mom died, and that's how she provided for her family at 9 years old. You know, she did it because their lives depended on it. And so that's, you know, one of the legacies that we're left with, that we, you know, that we're blessed enough to be able to create with our hands and provide for our families. And it's an amazing thing. It's you know, it's a legacy we're left with, and one that I'm proud of. And yeah, so we definitely do have a lot of artists in our family. I have cousins who can draw way better than I can, and I keep telling them, you guys need to get up and do something with it.
Once they start making money with it,
right,
then they'll get interested in it. Just doing it by themselves, they got to start making money. Then once they start making money, they'll
definitely.
Oh, shit, I can make money doing it. Yeah. So what's the biggest lesson that you think you learned
in this business? You know, just family first, man. I mean, this the work always seems to be in demand somewhere else. You have to travel somewhere else to do this, but you always come to your family. You always come back to those important to you. You know, and this is one thing I've heard from several artists. You know, I meet a lot of artists traveling and stuff, and a lot of guys seem to be separated, divorced, or broken up, or whatever, you know. And that's one thing I went through also was a divorce. And you know, always come back to what's important at the end of the day, and you know, family first, man. And you know, just have your priorities straight. It's, you know, it's that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned, and just, you know, making those people a priority to me. You know, art will always be there. You know, it'll always be there. If you put it down for a month or a year or whatever, you know, you're always going to be here. And, you know, that's the lesson that I've learned was, you know, come home, come back to family, and you know, tell them that they're also as important or more important than this. And, that's the lesson I've learned. So,
any t-shirt artists intimidate you, or do you think you intimidate them?
You know, like I said, when I meet artists, I like to watch them, watch what they do, and I'm still fascinated watching other artists spray, man. I love it. And
that's crazy. You can sit up there and watch another airbrush artist for hours, man.
I love it. You know, and just learning the little things they do here and there, you know, little tricks and stuff like that. And I don't feel intimidated. I'd probably just more inspired. I'm like, man, I got to try that next time I spray and stuff like that. I definitely, you know, I always tell people my style of airbrushing, it's a collective of watching other artists work. You know, I learned, like I said, small things here and there, and I go back and try it. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And am I intimidated by anybody? Not really. I wouldn't say intimidated. I would say more inspired. I would say more, you know. Yeah,
that's the word, inspired. Yeah, you're not intimidated. Well, I think no matter how much you try to mimic somebody else's style, you're always gonna, it's always
right,
gonna
right,
it's your style. So that's a good thing about that part. I mean, everybody watches somebody else like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool, I might try that. But it doesn't be identical to that person, but it's going to be your style.
Yeah, you know, I like to think of myself as being teachable and coachable. like I said, I'm not really set in one way. You know, it's my way or no way. I know a lot of guys are like that. You know, they'll they're stuck in their ways. And, you know, loosen up a little bit, learn something new. You know, and it doesn't matter their skill levels, beginners, advanced. Sometimes it's fun to watch beginners because I remember, you know, what was hard for me when I was learning, and I've learned stuff from beginners and learned stuff from the pros, and so it's
As long as you're always learning, it's always, you know,
right.
That's a good thing. So what's your worst experience with a customer?
Oh man, let's see.
So many,
man. You know, probably doing like what, like 10 or 12 shirts and getting all the names wrong on the different sizes, and they send them back. And oh man, I don't know, man. I painted a motorcycle one time. I forget what kind of motorcycle it was, and I hadn't done any automotive point up to this point, and I just telling the people I needed automotive paint to do it. And I wasn't even working in a shop then. I was still just, you know, in my bedroom messing around with an airbrush, and I didn't know too much about it. And I tried to do this bike, and I mean, screwed it up royally, man. I screwed this thing up. They had to go, and they got the whole thing sanded down, and they had a professional down in Phoenix do it. And it was very, discouraging, and I wanted to give up, and I never wanted to show my face in public again and stuff. But, you know, it was discouraging, but I continued with it, and I don't know. Now they couldn't afford me.
Oh man, that's the thing though. It's like sometimes you have to be humble. You know what I'm saying? It, like I've done some jobs, and like, man, the people be like, nah, this is not it. So they'll take it to somebody else. Or right. I used to do motorcycle helmets, and then I had a clear guy. And when he clear it, the clear job is just raggedy, man. It's running, and so I get hit with the thing, and they talking to me crazy. I'm like, man, come on, I don't clear. That's why I just
right. Stopped doing
all that kind of stuff altogether. Yeah. So, Do you modify your airbrush, or is it
I use a Vega 2000 and the Iwata Eclipses for t-shirts. I like the Vegas just because they put out a lot of paint, and I like to. I'm Chino always calls me, you know, being heavy handed. You know, I put a lot of paint out, so I like the Vega 2000s for that. I use a medium sized tip on those, and the Iwatas I just use them right out of the box. I don't really mess with the sizes or anything with those. Just you know, I like to my favorite paints to use are Aquaflows and Spectratex. And
Spectratex, they still got Jaime used to.
Yeah, I really like the way it flows. Ken from Badger hooked me up with several bottles of paint, and I still got, I mean, multiple bottles of Spectratex to go through. And I love it, man. It's good flowing paint. I like it. I like it. I'm probably anywhere from 50 to 70 PSIs for t-shirts.
I painted 80, and I was having a problem with Spectratex. They were telling me, I remember Jaime saying you have to lower the pressure.
I like 50 to 70, and then I add a couple drops of water to it, just to thin it out a little bit, just to get it flowing a little bit better. It just, you know, it's, I think every paint has its, you know, pros and cons and stuff, but I like to add a little bit of water to mine just to thin it out a little bit just for flowing purposes
I think it right. used to be real watery at first when I first tried it, because Kid Badger sent me a couple of bottles of the paint for a while, and I tried it. It was just too watery. So they may have thickened it up. I know Createx now is like super thick, and you definitely gotta water it down. Man.
Yeah, Createx has really changed a lot.
Yeah, for real. I should try to reach out to them and see if I can get somebody over here to talk about it. But we got Brian Benson had a question. He said, does he have any paint? Oh, there it is. Have you had any paint or gun tweaks such as clean lines? And his black and white seems so crisp. What brands of techniques he has developed over the years?
I made a video one time. I like to keep my needles super polished. When you bend a needle or whatever, you go and you straighten it out. I use go to Harbor Freight, grab the little diamond dusted files or whatever. You straighten out your needle, and this is an old Navajo trick. What you do is you use your teeth to feel the tip of the needle. If that makes any sense, you rub the needle on your teeth, and you can actually feel all the little teeny tiny microscopic grind marks or whatever in the needle. And so what you do is you get some paper and you sharpen your needle on the paper. Just put it down on the desk and start sharpening your needle, and you rub it on your teeth again to feel, and you can start to feel that needle polishing up. I like to have a really nice polished needle. I thin out my paints a little bit. For white, I like half Aquaflow and half either E-Tac or Spectratec or something, and then I reduce that a little bit. I like Aquaflow Black. I think it flows the best, but I like a good polished needle. I think that might be one of the differences that I'm kind of known for, is having a really good polished needle. And I don't know. I think it makes a difference. For me, it does.
Yeah. It seemed like the white you use is like it's a one hit of quitter. Right. You don't have to go over and over and over it. So you have a nice solid white. So I guess you mix it.
Yeah, usually like Aquaflow with either E-Tac, Spectratec, or something a little bit thicker. I've tried mix it with Createx, and I think Createx white is just a little too watery for me. It seems to just absorb into the material, and it doesn't sit well. And
yeah,
so I try to stay away from Createx white. not anything bad about it, but it's a harder thing to use. So.
Yeah. What's your writing style? Do you have any of your designs like on display, and what's your writing style? Like, I guess because the one thing I had about it, Jaime, is like, I think everything was, I thought everything was tattoo-y, you know? So do you have like anybody complaining about, they want to change the writing style, like for print or?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we have, our stock designs, we have print, brush, cursive, script, bold, like a graffiti style, the dagger stroke style. And we definitely we don't just focus on script. I think that's what I'm known for, and that's probably only the kind of videos I put out as scripting videos and stuff. But yeah, we have a whole kind of arsenal of writing styles. So
yeah. I get on my friend Chris all the time about every time I see you show me a shirt, I'm like, dude, that's the same writing. You don't do anything else. You don't have any other kind of writing style, dude. Everything is fat script with a black outline. Yeah. Come on, dude. So what else? He said, lastly, how big is his team? Artist order taking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again.
Never get time off. That's. This one of the questions Brian asked. He said, lastly, how big is your team of artists, order takers?
We have sales representatives that we work with. So that, and especially in Vegas, as busy as it gets, you definitely have to have somebody there taking orders and setting up the shirts and getting the stencils and everything ready. Because I'll go there and I'll spray sometimes solidly from 11 to 11. I mean, it gets that busy. So you have to have somebody there helping out. I believe there were like five artists out there in Vegas at two locations. Like, this could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that when I left, I think it was five artists. And then now I'm not sure how many artists are out there now. We're building back up and getting, trying to get guys back together. Yeah. So
get back running. Yeah. I get to the point where, on Fridays when I'm really, really busy, I got to have somebody there to take the order. I take them during the week. It's fine. But on Fridays, like when I'm the busiest, I got to have somebody there. Because if I'm I'm taking somebody order and they're taking me out 30, 40 minutes to take an order. And then I have to still turn around.
Right.
And all this other stuff was like taking me away from work. So I always have a problem with that. So I don't have people all the time, but some days I just don't want to talk to nobody. Yeah. That's it. I guess my wife called me old and grumpy.
Right.
I just don't like to talk to people, man. So this guy named James V. Santo, he said, Nate told me he bought it at the, better than the story said, practice, mm-hmm. practice. So you,
yeah, because you know, the way you practice is the way you're, it's going to come out when it's time to, you know, get down and dirty, man. It's how you practice is what's going to come out when it counts. So if you want a certain style, you have to practice it. One of the like cursive, I don't just practice cursive with an airbrush, man. I just with a pen and pencil, you know, paper and pencil, pen and, you know, pen and paper, whatever. And you just keep writing those letters over and over and over. And that's one thing Jaime stressed was learning the structure of the letter, you know, write it out, get a pencil and paper and just practice it over and over and over. Because what you learn on pen with pen and paper is what's going to come out of an airbrush, is what will come out of a crown, markers, pencils. I mean, a paintbrush, you know, it's all going to come out the same if that's the way you're practicing. So, you know, how do you want your work to look when it counts? Now you have to practice that. And yeah, so that's, I'm huge on that. Huge on practice.
I used to practice all the time. Like even when I thought I had it,
I would try to
learn something different. And I think it's like everybody's like, when I was starting, it was, you know, this set of people and you would try to follow their way. And then it's like, now it's like the younger person. Like I was talking to, who was I talking to about how y'all changed the hat thing in Vegas. Everybody started changing the way they did stencils and did hats because the way, I think it was y'all who set that standard in Vegas and everybody started following it from there.
Yeah. You know, I think Chino like really, I think kind of spirit of that, he added a lot to the industry and definitely I think changed it for a lot of people. I remember having to cut our own stencils, and I'm not, you know, again, I'm really new to the game, but I remember having to cut stencils. And now, hey, you know, we need a stencil man, and now Airbrush Las Vegas, we do it, you know, Jonathan, we cut our own stencils now, and it's good, man.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. I remember sitting up there with the X-Acto. I use X-Acto knife cutting the stencil today, trying to get something done.
Yeah.
Ice cream cone, actually. Do you do a lot of freehand drawing?
Yeah,
I do
a lot of freehand. That's one thing I love doing live in front of people. Is definitely the freehand stuff. You know, I have several pieces on my Instagram. Instagram page, a lot of freehand, there's a lot of stencil, so it's I like to, it's fun, it's a lot of fun, you know.
That's the thing. I've always been like a good freehand drawer, but stencils just make
and
it
when
faster.
Yeah, when you're doing volume, but you definitely have to have a stencil. Yes, right.
Yeah to make everything look the same. So what's the artwork that you're most proud of?
You know, every piece is different, man. The ones that I'm most proud of are the ones where your customer is genuinely happy. You know, for a moment, when you do a piece, like for a little kid, for example, you spray a shirt and you put his name on it and you make it look cool and all that. You know, just to see the expression on their faces, no matter how simple it is or how complicated the design is, when you see the expression on those faces, the customer's faces, you know, they're, for a moment, they've forgotten about everything. You know, they've forgotten about everyone around them. They've forgotten about, you know, what hurts, you know, and for a moment they're caught up in, you know, it's nice to be a part of that. It's nice to be, you know, to contribute to somebody's, you know, some people cry when they get something cool, you know, you know, just to be a part of that, you know, that's, I think that's what, you know, makes it, one of the biggest things I'm proud of is just being part of that. You know, it's a healing process for some people. Some people are trying to get away from problems at home, you know, and they just want to get out and do something fun, go somewhere fun. And it's good to be part of that. You know, everybody has their own reasons for, you know, getting shirts and going to events and stuff. And it's just fun to be part of. And I think that's what I'm most proud of, is just being part of that. You know, our paths cross at an airbrush booth. And, you know, it also gives me a chance to pray for people. I do a lot of praying. I'm firm in my faith, and I like to pray for people and, you know, just ask God a little blessing over each person that comes our way. And as they leave, you know, that he just, you know, keeps them in his hands and guides them and protects them. Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, because you never know what somebody's going through, and then you just that person to, like, you know, that item that you do for them is just can be that thing for them, you know? That's crazy. It's always about, and I think it's about the show, too, for the little kids. The little kids, it's about the show, seeing their shirt made in front of them. Yeah, so my idea is on a shirt. That's crazy. Yeah. So what don't we know about you, Nate? What you want to let everybody know that we don't know about you?
I didn't know
you were religious.
I wouldn't say religious, but, you know, I definitely I'm a firm believer in God, and, you know, I love him with all my heart, and, you know, everything I do, I want to give him all the glory, all the praise. He gives us our talents, and I don't know. I'm not a real public person, I guess. I'm not real. I like my privacy. I like my quiet time. And, you know, Vegas, you get out in Vegas or Hollywood, and it's chaotic, and the crowds and stuff like that. So I'm definitely a people person, but I'm also a very private person. Gee whiz. I'm full-blooded Navajo Native American. I take a lot of pride in that. And you know, I'm one of the few, I guess, native airbrush artists. There's a couple of us out there. But I'm, you know, it's nice to be part of an airbrush community. And then within an airbrush community to be kind of one of the only ones, you know, Native American airbrush artists. And I take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they were saying about you.
Right. I take a lot of pride in that, dude. You know, I'm proud of it and proud of my accomplishments. And it's
good. Yeah, you seem really humble about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's
right. Thing, right. Like, yeah. Being definitely.
Humble, so staying humble about it. Not walking around with the big head like I'm the bomb. Like I do sometimes. I think I'm the bomb, but I'm really like,
yeah.
Really like, yeah. Whatever. Who the hell is you? Yeah. So who is there anybody you
want
to collaborate with?
Man, you know, I would love to sit down and just learn and work with anybody and everybody, man. I got to go out and meet Corey St. Clair out in LA, and he's a really super cool dude, man. He's way down to earth, and he tells some funny stories and stuff. I would love to collaborate with him sometime. I took a class, intro to automotive graphics with Rhino. He's super cool, man. I would love to, you know, get in and work, you know, and do some stuff with these guys. There's so many artists with so many different things to offer, man. I just would love to collaborate with just anybody and everybody, man. It's so much out there, man. So much talent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. I know I went to a couple of, I never took a class. But I Cliff would let me come in
right.
And I'll walk around and talk to people and stuff like that. And there's some, that was some, I mean,
it was, oh, yeah, I would love to give a class, man. I would love it. I would love to. That would be a lot of fun. I would really enjoy that. And there's a lot of people who say they would come out and take my class. So, you know, if that were offered, and that's again, it's pretty encouraging to hear. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's something you could think about. I mean, right now it's like everybody worried about COVID, but you'd have to have a small class and everybody have to space out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that is something that you can't do. I mean, everybody's going virtual as well, too. So, But shit, you ain't had no time. You working 7 days a week, all day long.
Yeah. Yep.
You ain't working, you driving. Yep.
It's, you know, it's not crazy, permanent, man. Though. There's definitely a season for it. And, you know, right now is the time I just got to get down and dirty and do my work. And you know, it's not forever. It's not, there's definitely a season to it. And, you know, I try to make the most of it, of the opportunity, and cause it's not always going to be here. So.
Yeah. True story. Yeah. Well, shit, anything else you want to talk about? Anything you want to bring up?
You know, just it's airbrushing has been very, very good to me, and I'm very excited to share, you know, the little bit that I know with, you know, with the world, and, you know, give a little bit of insight to, you know, where I come from, who I am, and what makes me, you know, me, and it's fun to share. You know, I definitely have a good time working with other guys, and we have a lot of fun. And, you know, I would love to meet everybody, anybody and everybody, man. Come through Vegas or whatever, and, you know, we can go out and have some chicken wings and talk story, man. And, you know, I love the community, man. And everybody's been really good to me. Been a couple guys who've been a little more hostile, but everybody's, for the most part, been really good to me, man. And I'm really just encouraged. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody who helped get me started. You know, that was starting with Mario, Chino, and Jonathan, and Paula Bill out in Orlando. And, you know, there's so many guys, Pat Gaines, and, you know, and now you, Ralph, you know, helping me to, you know, get my name out there. And it's, you know, it's been good. It's been good. It's a good community of people, and yeah, man. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's a good thing. I mean, like I told you, like a lot of people asked me to get you on there, and I was like, man, I don't know if we're gonna do it because, you know, but you know what? I'm gonna try it and see what happens. If he might say yeah, he might say no.
Right.
And I'm glad you said yeah, because, you know, yep, you have a story. You have a story. Everybody has a story.
Yeah, definitely. And,
you know, you need to get your story out. You know? So normally I post these on Sundays. So I'll have it ready and I'll send you some links and so you can, you know, listen to it before you want. I gotta do some editing and whatnot.
Nice, nice. That went really by fast.
Time,
nice.
We made over an hour. Yeah, man, I talked to Pat. I don't know if you ever talked. You probably talked to Pat. Pat talked for 2.5 hours, man. In the beginning, when I first started doing it, I was like, man, I want to keep it at 30 minutes. So I don't want nobody to lose interest and whatnot. Pat talked for 2.5 hours. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Man, that's my dude. I like talking to Pat. I just got to hurry up and get him off the damn phone.
That's funny, man. He's good people.
Well, all right, man. Yeah, he's good people. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no, thank you, Ralph. I really appreciate it, man. This is a lot of fun. I was really looking forward to doing this, so.
Yeah, you said you was excited, so I was like, man, well, all right, this is going to be a pretty good one. You're going to be hyped.
Hey, thank you, Ralph. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, take care. See ya.
I want to take the time to thank a friend of mine who I've known since I've started, maybe 15, 16 years ago, who helps me big time behind the scenes. Ed Zamora of EZ Airbrush. Thanks, Ed, for all the help. Air Graphic Podcast is a production of Air Graphics Airbrushing. It's written and hosted by me, fellow airbrusher Ralph Kelly. If you want to see any of my work, check out my website, www.airgraphics1.com, or my Facebook, Ralph Kelly. Thanks for listening.